Hey guys, what's up and welcome back to yet another episode of the Breakthrough Podcast. Now, I'm really, really sorry because, you know, I've been, it's about 3-4 weeks delay and I've been extremely busy. Life's been hectic. Suffering from the post-COVID, traumas where work started and, you know, I've also recently shifted back to my house, a new house, in fact, setting up a studio, working on some tracks. We, in fact, had a new record coming out on 13th of August and as you all can see, it's been delayed again. But I'm back again with all your requests and all your love. Today, I'm very excited because I have with me one of my first experiences of a club DJ. We have DJ Zubair.
Hello, everybody.
Welcome, man. Zubair, sir.
Thank you. Actually, we have been planning this from March onwards. And two times we have decided the date and we got into a lockdown.
And you're always traveling. Ab Dubai ho, yahan pe ho, Phuket mein travel kar rahe ho, everywhere traveling. Yeah. Sir, the first time I actually had an experience, and I call you sir, and I'll because I think
you,
so.
You don't have to, man, chill.
it's all, I have a lot of respect for you.
Great,
the
thank
first
you.
Time I had a proper experience of a Bollywood club night was, I think so, a couple of years back. Keshav, as he's our mentor, and he actually invited us. I think he had booked you for Area 51.
Okay.
And we were, I don't know, hum log 17-18 saal ke the, Karan aur main. And I don't know how we got in. We had no money. We had no vehicle to come in. And, you know, he gets us to this party and you're playing. Yeah. And I remember I've been to a lot of parties here and there, you know, family parties and stuff. But the reason I remember you as a DJ is your pura setup ko jo tha, it was like a good 45 minutes, 50 minutes straight of originals.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, yari, matlab, this is amazing. And I don't know, what time BPM, I had no intention of being a DJ. What time, I think, so BPM would be, what, 118, 115. But I'm still back-to-back play karate in originals and it was amazing. And I remember meeting you and I don't think you, aapko yaad shayad se nahi rahega, but I remember like, dude, this guy is amazing, amazing, amazing DJ. And that's one of my experiences I've had.
Great.
And cut to, I think, so 10 saal, 12 saal and we've been DJing ourselves and you've always supported us whenever you're in Pune. And it feels great and I'm so happy to actually, you know, come and spend time with you and have a nice conversation. Okay. And I'm just honored to kind of know you personally.
Thank you.
So welcome to the podcast, man.
Thank you very much.
How's it been? Tell me, how was your COVID situation going on?
Well, I actually was in Dubai to play for a gig on the 6th of March.
All right.
So that got cancelled and then I got a little worried because Dubai gigs never get cancelled.
Okay.
Yeah, and then that was a holy event. And so, cancelling a public event means like a big thing out there.
Mm-hmm.
I've so far in my year, 25 years of Dubai, there's never been a single public gig which has got cancelled.
Okay.
Due to, any kind of disease or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Technically, probably may have,
mm-hmm.
but then not like this. And then I came in to play 10th in Pune for a holy event with Keshav. And then that got cancelled. And then I was like, okay, this is messy, you know, this is serious stuff. So, then I was supposed to go back on the 18th of March.
Okay.
And then luckily, I just stayed back with my family and then I'm here now since then.
Great, yeah.
So, got a good time to spend with family and stuff like that. So
great. I think you're one of the finest exports of Bollywood music to the world. I think you've been traveling and you're one of the first few, I think so, first 10, 15 DJs. I think you were one of the first people who went, and created a scene there.
To be honest, when I was in Pune, I was playing only funky house.
Yeah, I remember.
Techno, R&B and stuff like that. I moved on internationally from Pune, thinking that I will get exposed to the international market,
mm-hmm.
which does not apparently take the Indian market very well.
Okay.
So when according to them, only the Goras can play the house music and R&B and stuff like that. At least at my time, it was such. So we said, okay, fine then. So we'll go with Bollywood and we'll show you that we can do better than you. So we went with Bollywood and we transformed that into this and we made that so seriously that we are today even like a club. Like Armani, where I was resident at Burj Khalifa, earlier was not entertaining us even to enter the club.
Wow.
Today, they take us at residency, give us residencies because we are the highest generators of dirhams in their club night.
Great. So, let's start from the starting.
Yeah.
Tell me, how did DJ Zubair come into existence? Tell me, how was your childhood? Where were you? You're born and brought up in Pune?
I am born and brought up in Pune, yes. And then I was studying in Dastoor School, where I was with Ahmed Khan, now right now the director and choreographer of course, Bollywood.
Of course,
one of the biggest ones. And that time he had signed Mr. India. And we were actually supposed to go and do dancing. I was a professional dancer with him. I was doing break dance and stuff like that. And then, of course, my parents did not allow. So, around 10th standard, This was on 8th standard. Now we are coming to 10th standard, where he shifted to do Rangila. And then okay. even then, my parents did not allow. So I was left out. But the rest of the people who were dancing with me, like Ravi Botalje and other guys, he's one of the biggest choreographers mm-hmm. now. So they moved on and they carried on with the stuff. And I was left behind. But I was always into music. So I used to collect a lot of cassettes. My passion was that. Like, if any of my cousins are coming from abroad, or somebody will ask me for, like, what do you want for your birthday gift? You know, like, what do you want? Yeah. I would say, no, give me a cassette. No, that Thompson cassette. Get me something like a compilation or something. So I had many, many cassettes, which I used to store in a suitcase.
Okay.
That was my case logic at that time. So, then I used to blast in my house, and I used to listen to music. And then one of my friends was having a birthday party. So he said that we need somebody to, you know, just take care of the music. So I said, I'll do that, you know. So he said, now, how do we go ahead? So we went to Munna Bhai, if you remember. Munna Bhai, he does a lot of lighting and stuff. So
Yeah.
So he said that, okay, I'll give you a mixer and I'll give you two players, cassette players, which you can rewind forward and stuff like that. Actually gave us three, and I'll give you two speakers. So we said, fine, I will cue all the, you know, everything before like 1 hour, and then we'll play at least, like, we'll manage 1 hour, you know, of the music. So we did that, and then actually the mixer knocked off in the middle. So what we did was that we connected one player to one powered speaker and the other one to the other speaker.
Okay.
And then I started playing. So sometimes you could hear the song on the left and then the next one on the right. So the people used to go and dance there and then come back. Oh, but it was all fine, because that time this was like, you know, we were even fluently, we were just going with the tracks, you know, not mixing. Of course, you cannot do that mm-hmm. much on the thing. So even with no break, you know, like, we are putting the volume down of one and putting the volume of the other one. So it quite went well. And then, since nobody had done that before, like in my group, they were like, wow, this guy is like the thing. And like, you know, he's the DJ. And then so all of a sudden, I got this attention and stuff like that. So then I approached Vivek Sood.
Okay.
So Vivek Sood is one of the finest DJs earlier from Pune. And then he said that, okay, fine. I mean, you come and help me out with the stuff. And that's how the whole story started. And I started, going with him for his gigs and stuff. And
okay.
then that time, he was also even playing on S45s. You know, those two CD players. Sometimes on a Walkman.
On a Walkman?
Discman. Yeah, Discman. And then one S45 and two cassette players. So we were juggling on that.
Oh my God.
So we had no experience about pitch, we have never seen it before, you know. For us, it was just like, you know, play in and out,
yeah,
like fade one, get the other one out. So yeah, that kind of stuff. So we went on with that, and then we saw a lot of progression in the industry. So there were Gemini players, so we were playing on Gemini, then we started playing on Denon's,
mm-hmm.
then we moved on to Pioneers. Then now,
yeah, you have the laptop.
Now you just have to go with a USB, man.
So tell me how, I mean, in terms of like as a career, I'm pretty sure music was a taboo in terms of, there was no career. There was mostly rock bands and, you know,
people had
wedding, shaadi mein bajata hai wala scene.
Huh.
In fact, recently I just came across some of my old pictures, some family function. And I mean, there was a DJ and I couldn't even figure out who kya kar raha hai, kaise kar raha hai.
Yeah.
So at that time, did you think consciously ki mujhe career aise karna hai, and you know, what was your plan ki kya kar rahe ho aap?
To be honest, I had no plans at all. And when we spoke like with other say probably my friends who were engineers or mm-hmm. probably successful people at that time,
yeah.
like, we were not even considered. Like, we were just like standing on the side, you know. So when we used to talk to them, they were like, no, you know, this, that, and all this money and all that. And I never went for the part of the money part, you mm-hmm. know, like I never wanted the money part of it, out of it. Whatever I was getting, I was very happy. I never counted that also.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, let me just, you know, just do my music. And then what happened actually, as slowly as things grew with this industry, the money started following us. So mm-hmm. we were never following money for what we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
So now we used to never ask like, oh, how much are you going to pay me for Saturday night? You know, we used to just go and like, okay, what kind of music do you want? That was the
approach.
That was the first approach. Not like we are going to charge you this. So he used to say, chalna yaar, my budget is only 2,000.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes he said, chal yaar, 1,500. So it was not like, yaar, ke we had one tag or a price.
Okay.
You know, it was like, chalna tera, ye iska baat hai na, chalna, let's just go. and become famous.
Yeah.
And play music. And, you know, that was the vibe.
Okay. And then, like, you know, what is your family's reaction? Because, you know, at that time, like I said, how did they react? And did you have any backup plan? If there was no DJ Zubair, what would you be doing as a
guy? No, to be honest, I had no backup plan. I just stuck to the thing that I'm going to be playing music, DJing, and that's about it. However, my career will go where it goes, I really don't know. So I will just follow because this is what I love and this is what I've been living for. So, you know, it will make me happy. Finally, when I'm listening to whatever tracks or, you know, stuff like that, I will be more happy than anything else. So, yeah, family's reaction, like you said, it was a little different because my mom earlier in the initial stages when I had just joined this, you know, I was just becoming a DJ and stuff like mm-hmm. that. They used to kick me and wake me up at about 12:30 in the afternoon. You know, I used to be home at about 3-4 o'clock and then I used to be sleeping in the middle of the room and yeah. they used to be like, what is this nonsense, you know, guests are coming, this and that. And then after a few years when I got a few awards and Times of India and yeah. Indian Express started writing about it and she could see, you know, the response, that time it turned out to be like this, that we are not entertaining any guests right now because my son is sleeping.
Great, man. I mean, whoever I've spoken to, in fact, in the podcast as well, if you just go back to a couple of our archives,
yeah,
everyone's kind of taking your name, you know, with, you know, keep this guy had another, he was on another level in terms of dedication. So how did that come? I mean, because I'm pretty sure there was no reference point that time. So, you know, yeah. did you have a vision? What was your target? Ki mujhe kya karna hai DJing mein?
To be honest, DJing as a career or as a target was never there at that time. You know, it was just like you're playing music. Where I was feeling really happy, honestly, I'll tell you, is that standing behind the decks and getting the reaction of the crowd. Like mm-hmm. Like somebody's like, oh, he's played, you know, Macarena. Oh, he's played, you know, oh, Caroline.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that. Oh, he played Greece 2000. So that just those reactions was my success, you know, like those reactions was the target, basically. So when I plan a night, I used to be like, okay, today I'm going to get at least like, you know, those 30 people who will say like, wow, and, you know, you played this track and that track and you dropped it this way or, you know, that way. So that was it, man. I had, to be honest, I had never thought about the future. I only thought about the next Saturday night that is coming in.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so it was, I think, so what, you got a residency first? How did things happen? Because, you know.
So initially I was working with Vivek Sood. So under him, we did a lot of residencies,
mm-hmm.
Like Polaris.
Yeah.
Then we did Tavern at Aurora Towers. Then we did Scooby-Doo.
Mm-hmm. And I honestly don't know any of these places.
Okay,
I wasn't around.
These were the like the only probably clubs at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Bullocks. So
yeah,
these were the
I've
only
heard.
Like one club in Pune, and that's about it. So we were the guys who started those stuff. Of course, I was not the mainstream at that time.
Mm-hmm.
I was just helping, and you know, probably passing out CDs or
passing out CDs.
Yeah, because Vivek used to play, and you know, you got to be really fast with, you know, to choose on the next track. So I used to collect, put it back.
Oh,
you
my
know,
God.
In the case. Or put it back in the plastic case. That time there was no case logic also. So then, so that, you know, it should not go in the wrong case and then...
It gets difficult to search for it.
Yeah, and then later on, as we progress and we get a little higher, then it becomes a little more difficult to find where it is. So, yeah, and then that's how we, you know, we did stuff like that.
So tell me, what was your breakthrough? When did you kind of, I know Dubai was a big step in your career.
Yeah.
Tell me, how did you get to that? And before that,
yeah.
like, you know, 1-2 years before Dubai, what is happening in Pune now? You know, what
yeah.
were you doing?
So Pune, I had made an agreement with Vivek and we left, you know, we split ways.
Okay.
So I started off, there was a club coming up called Pegasus. So
mm-hmm.
I took over, went there. So that time I used to be, it was a pool club,
mm-hmm.
pool parlor. And then, you know, I was playing music. So it was getting a little bit of attention,
mm-hmm.
you know, with the music part and also the pool part, getting to know, you know, it was like a professional thing.
Yeah.
I would not say a club or a pub,
mm-hmm.
just a professional thing.
Okay.
It had a bar, it had pool tables and, you know, that's where we are. And then I participated into War of the DJs
yeah.
in Pune. So that was my first time. We were about 23, 24 DJs. Okay. And then... That was actually my breaking point where I took it over from there.
Yeah, I have heard a lot of stories, which I mean, I think I would like to hear them from you because I think you killed it when you had the War of the DJs and
the thing was that I took part for the first time. Before that, it was Vivek Sood who had trained me.
Yeah.
So he had taken part and he had won from Pune,
mm-hmm.
and then he represented DJ from Pune on the apna Indian circuit.
Yeah.
And then of course he was not in the top 3.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then but yes, participant does matter. You know, he was in the top 10 DJs of India. So then after that, I took part the next year, and then I won that competition in Pune Pune Club. And then we were like, you know, okay, fine. Now we got to compete with the Bombay DJs, you know, the Bangalore and Delhi and everybody. And nobody was expecting Pune, because Pune was always like, you know, अरे यार पुणे से आए, you know, क्या करें हाँ गाँव गाँव मतलब वही जो वो झोपड़ी में से आए, equipment भी नहीं देखा कैसे करेंगे, you know. And to be honest, we did not have. We had one Denon player with Altaf Bhai that time. One. So in the whole of Pune, there was one Denon player.
Are you serious? Wow.
And then on the main stage that you're performing, you get 10 minutes. They're going to put a Denon, because Denon was one of the sponsors. So now we had a little difficulty. But of course, Altaf Bhai helped me out, and he said, no, you know, you practice and whatever. So I went for my first India round. And I don't know how, but I came runner-up, first runner-up. And they were like, you know, mistake hua hai kya? So they said... you know, good, you know, when I came back, all the DJs came to meet me, and we were very happy, and then it was all over the media and stuff like that. Then next year came, so no DJ so far had taken part again in anywhere in India.
Yeah.
So, because whoever won was like, you know, I'm the winner, and I'll let the other one, you know, probably if I lose, then what happens to my career?
Yeah.
Of course, man, anybody will think. So, when that came in, I said, I'm taking part. So, even like everybody around me, my friends, you know, I said, you have already, you know, done that. You're there. Why you want to again take part? What if you lose? So I said, I'm ready to take the chance. So they were like, don't do it. Even my parents were like, don't do it. Even the media, my friends, everybody, my club owners, even the club guys, like, you know, don't do it. What if we lose? You know, some guy comes in, he'll come into your, you know,
league.
Thing.
Yeah.
Some, in fact, you just go and enjoy the show. I said, no, I'm taking part. So, lad jhagad ke sabse, you know, I said, fine, I'm going for it. And I went, and I won again. So I won again. I went to India level again. Again runner up. So when I came back, they're like, "Yeah, certainly mistake. Yeah, something you're doing, you know, which is not working out." So then I said, "Okay, fine." Again next year the championship came. So they were like, "Now it was the other way around. Is Zubair taking part?" I was like, "Of course I'm taking part, man. I'm going to win it 3 times. I'm going to try my best. I really don't care now." Like, I've done it twice, so I will do it the third time. Went there, again I won. And then again I went to the All India.
All India one.
Again runner-up, yaar.
Kya
baat kar. That was actually what I wanted to break through was that. I wanted to beat the Indian championship, and I never, you know, never got the thing. But on my third round, since Pune and there, 3 years I had already won, and I had done my stuff, you know. I thought that now it is, you know, I'm game, you know. I don't want to simply go there. I want to also give somebody else a chance, because a lot of people at that time were not taking part because I was taking part.
Oh my God.
So that became like a thing, like, you know, every time he's going, he's got the media, he's got the support of the crowd. And to be honest, you know, see, I was already there on the top of the board. Now, other guys were actually not getting a chance, you know. So I said, okay, fine. So I went on the mic on my third championship, and I told them that I've done it 3 times. It's a hat trick. Now, if you want me to take part, I will only compete when somebody beats it for 3 times again from Pune.
Okay.
Okay, I'll come back and I will challenge that guy, you know. Doesn't matter. I'll keep that record. So, fine. I went out. I was runner-up. I was happy. I was out. Then we started teaching DJ Agnel.
And oh.
DJ Agnel won it for the next 2 rows. So.
Great, man. So, I mean, battling DJ championship, it's a very different ball game. So, for me personally... I remember going to all these festivals and stuff.
Yeah,
so Ketu was judging, and I remember being an audience, and I now since I'm a DJ, I think it's a very different skill set, and I feel that, you know, a club DJ and a battling DJ are two different things. What do you think is the difference?
To be honest, I've been on both the stages. I was battling to have fun, to be honest. It was like, chalna ye karte, you know, 10 minute mein, you know, how many tracks can you change, what tricks can you do.
So tell me, what do you do? I mean, for the, let's say the third time you came, you want, tell me a couple of, I mean, I know you can't obviously explain your set, but kuch yaad rahega to if you could just.
So one time I was doing scratching with my elbows and stuff like that.
Are you?
Yeah. Wow. Then the other time I played on the other side of the console. I went
on the other side, around
the other side. Huh?
Oh my God.
So some people could not get the hang from this side of the den. I was playing from the other side of it. And then not only that, I was doing remixes at live. without, like, with 100% pitch bend. Like, I had my bars right, I had my tracks right, and I was doing remixes. I
didn't. And that time there was no cue point fix karo, ghar pe setup karke record.
So no. We were not allowed to do that. So as soon as my trick was that when I go on to the console, I know that a lot of people might do a lot of setting with the Denon, and we were totally new. We were still not, you know, we're just getting friendly. So I used to switch it off and switch it on again.
Okay.
So it becomes
zero. The reset, yeah.
Huh. And then I plug on, I get like a minute and a half or two to, you know, do whatever. And then, so there was no cue point, you know, we were just playing it live. And till date, I don't set my cue points.
I don't know, and you're
I just play directly, whatever's there, it has to come. Because this this career of mine, DJing, is all about doing mistakes. I do mistake the whole night, I learn, and I come back the next night. So there's no accuracy point in that.
And I remember till date, I think the last time I saw you was in Pune. You're playing at Penthouse.
Yeah.
And I mean, if you haven't heard a DJ Zubair set, if any one of you are listening, you should definitely go check him out. I remember once I went to get a drink or something, and there was a rap track. I was like, "Ye gaane mein rap nahi hai." And it was you rapping on the track. I was like, "Oh my God, kya kar raha hai? Kaisa kar raha hai?"
That's just having fun, man.
And you're like amazing, because I remember we were playing Coco. I think you had come to Pune.
Yeah.
And we were playing techno, and for the first time we played like a proper techno. No, it was a house set. We played a proper retro house kind of a set.
Classic
house kind of set. And I remember you were in the VIP section. I think Keshav, when you came.
Yeah.
And it was a massive set. And I think you came and you're like, "Dude, play this, play that." It was an awesome this. And then we went back and it was an amazing gig. And I remember going back to Instagram, and there's someone whistling and there's someone rapping and something, and, you know, pumping up the crowd. I was like, "Karan, tune kya? Maine ne kya?" I thought, "Maine ne kya?" And it was you. I was like, "Oh my God." Because we've got obviously a lot of, you know, experience gap, a lot of age gap and all of that stuff. But you've always supported us, and even if like we are the star for that 1.5-2 hours, I think you were always there, and you know, pumping us, and you love the mic, and I actually see you playing.
No, actually, it's not about that, man. It's the way you guys were playing music. It was not me who was pumping, you know, anything. You got me pumped. You know, you were playing all those classic tracks, which I've not heard for a very long time now. A lot of people probably just relate to the newer stuff. If you ask the newer kids, like, "Have you heard Assault Water?"
Yeah.
Like, do you know Sheikhane's? Like, what? Like, they don't know.
I remember this is, and props goes to Tarun. Tarun, if you're listening, because he had specifically told us that, you know, "I want this. Can you do this?" Yeah. I said, "Why not, man? Let's do this."
Yeah.
And it was an amazing night. And I think...
I loved it. Even if you're doing it next, anytime soon, let me know, man. I'll be there.
Ab bolo, club khol do, main to aaj. I'm ready to play today.
It will soon.
Great, yeah.
Yeah.
Also, another thing I want to talk to you, you know, your transition from winning championship. I think... you had a residency, in a very, very popular residency in Pune. I think you were training Agnil and Tushar.
Yeah,
all of you guys were doing
Club Scream.
Tell us about those days at Scream, yeah?
So, I think Scream was one of the biggest clubs of Pune at that time.
It was, definitely.
At Le Meridien, like, the probably one of the top 5 stars. I think there were only 2-3 at that time.
Yeah, Sun and Sands.
Sun and Sands was there, but Le Meridien, the club was like a proper
amazing,
club like that you could see in English movies, you
know? Yeah.
You know, something like that. So if you go to like Ibiza and stuff like that, you would come and say, "Oh my God, you went to that club." So for India, for Pune, or probably even for India, it was like that. So people used to come from Bombay to party, you know, in Pune. We used to go on till late and stuff like that. So it was a proper club with proper sound, you know, the lights that we wanted, you know, there were laser effects and stuff. The bar was, you know, like that. So it was the works. So, we had a wonderful time, man, playing out there. Because the best thing for a DJ is, like, the best of the sound. And, of course, a huge dance floor.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you could take 700 people dancing at one time. So, there was, like, hardly sitting for, I think, about 100, 150 people.
Mm-hmm.
Rest is only standing. So, when you have a standing crowd, you know, in front of you, and and they are, you know, on their cocktails and stuff like that. That's the best way to, you know, if you have sit around when there's little trouble, boss.
And for the people who, you know, listen to the podcast, you obviously can't see DJ Zubair's, you know, I can just see by the way you talk about it, you know, you can see that excitement, you know, and it's been a long time, it's been long overdue that we've not seen a crowd. And I can actually see it from your face that you really thoroughly get a high from, you know, looking at the audience.
Yeah. See, it's my rush is the reaction of the crowd, you know. I enjoy. It's the same way. You don't give me a reaction, maybe I will try my best to keep up with what I can do. But if I get a reaction, I can do 100 times better.
Mm-hmm.
That's
and I think that's. I mean, I'm completely related to that, because I think even the live streams that are happening nowadays.
Yeah.
For me, I don't really enjoy.
Same here. That's why I've not done one.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I don't see you doing that, because I think the energy that you bring, I think even you would not enjoy yourself doing that.
But I'm planning one with Agnel now. He's been like forcing me since it's
That'll
been
be amazing.
6 months.
Agnel's
like,
killing
know,
it,
just
yeah?
Do, yeah? Yeah, yeah. I went there, I was there last Saturday and he was actually teaching me, you know, this is what you should do. You should, I like, but how do I, you know, how do I think about the crowd? Like, just think that they are there, you know? I was like, that's a little difficult one, man.
Yeah, I know. Agnel's completely booked. He's constantly doing it. One of finest guys in Pune. Yeah. So, tell me then, I think immediately after Scream, I think 1 or 2 years after that, I think Dubai happened. Tell us, how did Dubai happen?
So, I was at Scream. I was playing. It was doing wonderful. We had, like, extended contract and everything. Like, we had one of the top clients. So, everybody was, you know, there and stuff. So, I went to visit Dubai for about 14 days. And then I went to one place called Copacabana.
Okay.
And then they had a band and a DJ playing. And then, so the band used to play for 45 minutes. DJ comes on 45 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
They
had
like a very, you know, very versatile kind of a, you know, set. So, because band was doing rock, they were doing retro. The DJ comes on, plays R&B, plays little bit of commercial house and, you know, stuff like that. Then one set Bollywood and, you know, stuff like that. So, I just went there and then I got a little high, to be honest. I went to the manager and I told him, you know, I can do much better than your DJ. So, and then he actually got pissed off. And he was like, really? And you think too much about yourself? I said, yeah, I think I, you know, I can do it. Then he said, okay, why don't you come and show us what you've got? I said, yeah, I'll come tomorrow to show you what I've got. So, he said, okay, come at 6 o'clock in the evening. The owner will be there. And then we'll take it on from there. I said, okay, fine, I'll come. Went there 6 o'clock. I was carrying a few vinyls and a Case Logic and I started playing. So, first 10 minutes, everybody was just sitting and listening. Then he got up, then he came onto the dance floor and then he said, okay, now switch to R&B. So, I shifted to R&B. Then he said, play retro, played retro. He said, play Bollywood, played like 10, 15 minutes. He said, come down. I said, okay. So, I said, what do we do now? So, he's saying, I'm giving you the visa and the next flight you go and come back in. So
oh
I said,
God.
Come back in means. So he said, you have to join me by the next weekend. I want you on board.
Oh my God.
So it was like a decision now. I was doing very well in Pune. I had my family, everything. But I wanted to go international, you know. That was my main focus at that time. And then I said, okay, let's just take a chance, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like what will happen maximum? I mean, I am guarantee myself as a musician, as a DJ, I can do wherever. Really doesn't matter where I am in Pune. India, Dubai, you know, if I'm good at it, nobody can stop me. So I just said, okay, fine, I'll go with it, man. And I took the chance, I came back, I put Agnel on board with Barry Dayton. I told them that I got to move and this is the only chance, you know, and stuff like that. And I shifted to Dubai. And then, yeah, that's the whole journey started off Dubai from there.
So it was like one, you were going just for like a holiday and this happened?
Yeah, 14 days. And then I was there when, after a week and a half, I was rested in Dubai.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
and
it was a big change.
So tell me, how was the initial days? I mean, I'm talking about what, 20 or 25 years back, Dubai?
Yeah. So basically, Dubai at that time, to be honest, I was very disappointed because we were much more updated in Pune.
In terms of
music
terms.
Okay. Yeah. Even R&B or, you know, stuff like that. We were way ahead than what, you know, what those guys were doing. They were still little, you know, it actually took me about 2 months to really get into the crowd because they were not adjusting to what I was playing because they had a repetitive set, you know, like an R&B. So they know this song, this song, this song, this song. And we don't go with a plan, you know, we just go and play.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is the R&B, you know, so they were like, you know, who's this guy? And then, first of all, we never changed our style, you know, I just continued with what I was doing. So then slowly, they started adapting it, you know, like, okay, this is playing on the radio, this is playing here, this is the Bollywood track that we should listen to. And then they just got it, you know, they got it updated with the thing. And then I remember at one time, even one of the radio channels, they came into the Bollywood night sponsoring us because we had more music than them.
Oh my
so
God.
They said like, no, let us just give them a free role. So let them go live. And we'll let this guy play the remixes
this,
and stuff
live.
That.
Okay.
Yeah. And what? So I was playing to the crowd and they had connected into my mixer and we were broadcasting live from the club itself. So we were doing whatever we were doing live. I said, I don't want to, you know, plan anything. I told the radio, this is what I got. You take it or you leave it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to adjust to what you're saying, do this at that time. You know, if I want to drop the tempo, I will. If I want to pick up the tempo, I will.
Yeah,
so,
course.
You know, your listeners will have to adjust. I will not adjust to anything because I'm playing to a live crowd. You know, I cannot just let them run away from the dance floor. So yeah, that's how. And then the radio actually got me more famous out there. So
how was your switch? I mean, I'm saying 25 years back, was the audience primarily Indian? What was the club setup like? How was the setup in terms of the, you know, the audience there?
I mean, it had, of course, it is Dubai. It had the works, you know, club wise and stuff like that. But yes, audience was completely new. Nobody knew me. I didn't know them. You know, some had a Gora crowd, some had Sri Lankan crowd. We had like, I was playing at various style. Like, I was playing even for a Filipino kind of a crowd. So I was learning, you know, in this process, because that's how supposed to be. And then maybe I think 6 months and we were there, man. Mm-hmm. And everybody knew that, okay, we have to go to for this night, or, you know, we have to go there. Yeah.
So you also mentioned, I think, when in Pune, when you're playing, you're doing a lot of funky house and a lot of house music, and I think a bit of trance as well.
Yeah.
And I think your living did a lot of, you know, retro as and you mentioned that. And I think I spoke to Tushar, you know, gave us a gig in Dubai and stuff. And this is something which he said, and I think even you mentioned earlier, is that Dubai always never let the techno and the house music come to the Indians. Is that, I mean...
No, it's not that. It's the crowd which is there, which is the, you know, the white skin kind of a crowd, which does not adjust to Asian, probably. They just, I don't know why they look down upon you. I mean, you're just playing music. You're supposed to be listening to it, mm-hmm. not looking at me.
Yeah.
What color I am is not, you know, I'm not playing from my color, you know. So, initially, that was the scene, man. I mean, they never appreciated. Or when we were doing something further, like beyond than what those guys were doing, they were like, you know, the appreciation, basically. They never wanted to, I don't know why they didn't want to come, but... of course, when the other DJ switches, they had the crowd.
You mm-hmm. know?
So when we were switching on, so I'll tell you another story that there also in Dubai, I went and took I started competing. So I went for the UAE championship.
Mm-hmm.
So the initial round I won. I went into the final round, and there it was Heineken Trust. So the guy who wins will be opening for Paul Oakenfold.
Oh wow!
Okay, so at that time, I was competing with all the Gora DJs, like from South Africa, Australia, and blah, blah. And I was the only guy with the most upgraded vinyls out there. Okay, so I was playing house music that time, like Call On Me and stuff like that. Everything on vinyl. Okay, and then these guys were like, how come? who's this guy who's got, you know, so many vinyls? So I had like Stupid Disco, you know, My Feelings, Junior Jack, everything. So I played the set.
Wow.
There also, yaar, I came second runner-up. I don't know what is this with this runner-up thing. So, yaar, I got second runner-up. The guy who played, according to me, of course, I will say, you know, I was better than best.
Yeah.
But I thought that to open for Paul Oakenfold was whatever. I mean, he went ahead. But I felt I lost points because I came from the Indian sector. If I had to be coming, say, somewhere from abroad, like from US or something, I would have definitely killed it. Wow. You know, I would have definitely won. Though I went for that show, but then, yeah.
Another thing, DJ Zubair, is which I totally respect about you is that, and I've actually seen it, and I mean, unlike most of the DJs, most of the people, you're very disciplined in terms of your personal life, your family life. You've got a beautiful family. Is there any reason why most DJs, you know, are unmarried, are unsettled financially? You know, stability, the word is not probably, it's not there in terms of as a career, not just DJs, but artists as well. But you chose to kind of, you know, have everything perfectly. I mean, you actually have a proper, you know, setup. And I think you've been, even the decisions you made in Dubai.
Yeah.
I mean, I've already always heard that you took the right decisions financially and, you know, you've been very sorted. Why do you think is this kind of lacks in our, you know, in our fraternity?
See, what when I didn't have the money in Pune and I was just playing music and stuff like that, of course, like I told you, money started following me. So I said, okay, this is also a part of the thing. You know, this is my hard earned, you know, this is also going to help me at some points to buy equipment, to, you know, do whatever I want to, probably record and stuff like that. And of course, I was traveling and, you know, I was making a lot more than what I thought. So then I said, okay, this also requires a management, like how I'm managing myself as a DJ and I focus on things. So I said, okay. So what I did was that when I used to get, say, a gig and I used to get paid for the gig, the entire amount used to go into a account, which is like a management account. And okay, I used to get a salary from that. So that management account is completely different. So say I've made 100 this month. So I get only 20. The 80 okay. goes into the management. That is my company itself, and which is there, and it is making or saving that and using it for the right kind of stuff that I want to, probably my clothes or my, you know, stuff like that. Everything goes through that, and only I get a part to spend. So like that, I don't spend more, you mm-hmm. know, I don't get that full 100 in my pocket to do, you know, whatever. So every time I want to do something, I go to that company, that which is run by me only, and I'll take a loan, you know, from there itself.
No, so you, I mean, is it an example or do you really have a, like a company?
No, I have a company.
Are you like serious?
Yeah. Z Production, which is in Dubai.
Okay.
And everything that I do is stored into that. And whatever so comes out from the channel.
If I book you for, yeah. say, probably 10 rupees or 20 rupees, whatever yeah. the amount is.
Yeah.
So I pay to that account.
No, either you pay to that account or you pay me and I'll put it into that account. And then I get paid from there every month.
So who manages all of that for you?
I manage it myself. So I get up in the morning when I wake up, like say about 11 o'clock okay. or 12 o'clock. 2 hours only goes in that. So managing that whole account. Also, I decide on where I should invest from there. You know, how I should take it forward.
Can you just elaborate more on how you do? Because I mean, I've never actually heard of this. I mean,
it's called money management, man. It's very simple. I mean, see, if you have to go to this line of ours is like very fast. You get, you know, there are ups and downs. So you got to save for the down. And when you're on the top, you got to, you know, you have to make and keep it so that when you fall down, at that time when you require, say probably you require more attention from the media to like record a video or to do some recording or hire a studio, anything, you can, you know, go from there instead of just stopping and then waiting like, oh, now one gig will come and I'll do it. So you cannot stop. You got to keep doing it, you know, because today music is completely different. You require the media attention. You require videos. Even if you make a remix, you want like it, you know, edited. And so there's a lot of things to be done, you know, just not go play music. And also that way, you spend a little less on other stuff, like, say, probably buying tables. You know what, I see a lot of DJs, when they get the money, alcoholism, you know, and a lot of stuff. So probably you can, you know, get rid of it. Or maybe at least you'll get it in control. Because you know that when you got that 20 and you got that whole month to do, you'll make sure that you do it in 20.
So you've been 30. Doing this for the last 25-30 years, is that you draw you draw a salary?
Yeah, yeah.
And is there a percentage calculation
even
that
now,
you have?
Yeah, even now. I get 25%, 75% has to go in the saving.
Oh my God, and that's like, that you. Where do you invest that money? I mean, in terms of, do you do mutual funds and saving? And
yeah, yeah, yeah. I do a lot of stuff like that. I also invest into properties.
Yeah,
I so think I buy, sell, you know, you know, then whatever comes in goes back, you know, stuff like that. I get a percentage out of it.
Great. Also, you've actually maintained in terms of relationship, you have a beautiful wife, you have a beautiful yeah. family. This is something which I see a lot of DJs. I mean, don't want to name anyone, but there are a lot of people who have either broken marriages
yeah.
or are still enjoying the DJ life
yeah.
Or are just lonely alone. So how did that, I mean, were you see, tell us what, about your
what,
wife.
What I think is that, see, this career is such that you're going to interact with a lot of girls, a lot of, you know, stuff. Now you have to decide where you got to draw the line, you know. This is going to happen every night. Every night if you go out and you're going to play music, you'll meet somebody or the other who's better than the previous one.
Yeah, yeah.
So you got to decide a line and once and for all, finish it off, man. I mean, how many times you're going to do that and then come back and then start crying and then sit with one bottle like, oh, that affects everything, you know. So just finish it off for once, no? Just play music after that, no? Like, you know, you love somebody and stay by that, no? Why you want to always switch? And then that becomes a trouble for everybody. You know, even for the person that you're out with, your family, and for your career the most. Because once you start doing that, you're always doing that. You know, mm-hmm. We are humans, man. We're never yeah. satisfied. So you have to draw a line somewhere.
So tell me about your kids. You've got beautiful kids. Tell me, I mean, what do they think about your career? And are they inclined towards music? Is that happening? Do we see a next
Yeah, gen? Yeah. My children, they listen to, they sing a lot of tracks right now.
Okay.
They're very young right now. The twins are about 6 years and the little one is only 4. But they are picking up tracks like Bailando and Despacito, and, you know, and they're singing in Spanish. And they're
oh
speaking,
my God.
Yeah, yeah. They also sing Dabang, 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 Dabang. They do that, you know. So I have never taught them. Because first what I thought was that let's just give them the, you know, the study part of it. Music is always there, you know, I am there. I've mm-hmm. got like so many vinyls, music, laptop, I mean a hell lot of stuff. So that is always going to be there in my life. But then I never thought that they would pick it up even right now, you know. Mm-hmm. So they call me also. Sometimes they call me, hi, DJ Zubair.
Great, yeah. So DJ Zubair, actually, you've seen a lot of transitions. So your career, yeah. Drawing back to just to a quick flashback of your career, yeah. 25 years back. 25 years back, just to learn how to beat match, yeah. You were set apart. The next was probably doing some skills to set you apart.
Yeah.
And a lot of things happened in these years. You know, social media happened and tracks happened and different genres happened. And, you know, a lot of things happened. And now, the next future is probably, playing music without any USB as well.
Yeah.
You know, play from the cloud.
Yeah.
And now, like I said, we mentioned Agnel as well. There's live stream that's happening.
Yeah.
What do you foresee? Because you've seen like transitions. For me, I've seen a CDJ 2000
directly
when I was playing. Yeah, I obviously I've seen the Denons and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
But for me as a DJ, 2000s, and it's still there are some clubs which only give you 2000s, the old ones.
Yeah.
So there's not much of a change in terms of technology. So it's easy for me to adapt.
Yeah.
For you, you've seen a Gemini and you've seen a Denon 45 and you've seen pitch control as well.
Yeah.
No LED or LCD screens. To now, you've seen like a lot, I think about 15-20 transitions in terms of equipment, in terms of the phase. And now, the soup we're in terms of COVID, I think you and me are in the same boat right now in terms of the situation.
Yeah.
What do you foresee as a requirement? What do we do next as DJs?
To be honest, just play your heart and your music, man. That is most required right now because I see a lot of people becoming DJs because of certain reasons and also the remixes are done by somebody else, the music is done by somebody else, and then they just put their names to it without no head, no tail of not, you know, knowing from your first track. I would know that whether you're made or you're original, So, I mean, if you just keep your head down and play music, gear wise, it will come, it will go, cloud will come, there will be no crowd, sometime it will rain, sometime it will not. So, it is really the equipment wise. I mean, we got a new technology. Of course, we have to go with the thing. It's getting more easier and easier, even better. But then, I say, don't cheat yourself, man.
What's your for me as well, I think you're a close mentor to us. What would be your suggestion or advice to us? Because I'm about 6 years in my career. And I mean, looking at your wonderful career, I want to be as settled as you are in terms of, enjoying your, doing your passion and still having a safe thing. Not just me, what would be your suggestion or your giveaway to all the DJs who are trying to do this?
To be honest, my suggestion to everybody who's DJing today, who's, going into this career, is that, now when we were there, it was, the competition was very less, like there were 3-4, like probably 2 DJs. Now the competition is too much. Now there are about 200-300. But
in one area.
In one area, yeah. So don't become a DJ as just because seeing that, this guy is a DJ, so I want to be a DJ. Like everybody cannot be Amitabh Bachchan, boss.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like that. So if you have that music into you, you can, do stuff. First think about all that, also think your family background. How you will take this forward? Will you be able to sustain? Or I see a lot of people just get into it because of drugs and alcohol or for girls. I mean, come on, that's not the right way. If you think that you can do it, then do it because the competition right now it's not as easy as what it was earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, since, I mean, I want to touch about, because I was really interested in your whole finance part of it.
Yeah.
If you could give us 3 or 4 tips, especially post-COVID, how do we manage our money? What should we do with the funds that come towards us? Just 2 or 3 tips.
See, and first of all, I would suggest is that first for a few years, just save. Okay. And then wait for the right opportunity. Like if the market is right, you can have, you can hire professionals, when you have the cash, then you can hire professionals who will also guide you to do what you're supposed to do, But of course, do a lot of saving, man. Don't just blow it up because the weekend is here, Like a lot of people I see are just wasting cash for, nothing. And especially DJs. I don't know. DJs are celebrities, man. We are supposed to be invited on the table with free bottle. Why are you spending?
Great. DJ Zubair, this was an amazing conversation. I'm so happy to actually sit down and have a nice chat with you. Whenever you're back in Pune, whenever you're back in India, whenever you invite me to your place, your club,
Inshallah,
in Dubai.
Of course, zarur, man.
I would definitely want to do part 2 of this episode in Dubai at your place.
We'll love that. We'll do that, man.
And hopefully, I don't know if this is possible, but hopefully one day we should probably do a B2B set whenever.
Yeah, sure. I would love it, man.
But thanks again for doing this for me.
You're welcome, man.
It means
a
lot.
Thank you, everybody.
And we'll see you soon, man. Cheers.
Yeah. All right. Cheers, man. Good luck.
And that was the episode, guys. Thanks for tuning into the Breakthrough Podcast. I'm getting mad love from all of you guys from the fraternity. Continue sharing, but definitely consider subscribing, following, liking, doing all that good stuff. This definitely helps me a lot.